Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. This is Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And I mentioned earlier, I was up in Durand Eastman Park earlier this week, enjoying walking around and kind of just exploring the park. It's a huge area, really, a substantial park, and there are lots of little valleys and trails and ponds, and Highland Park is very easy to traverse. Durand Eastman is a much bigger space and much more kind of almost different areas that you can discover, which just they're surprising. Even though I've been there many times, I haven't really spent enough time to know the park very well. And so over this course of the next few weeks, I'm going to try to get to know Durand Eastman better and explore more of these areas. One little area in particular that I have been in once before, I think, but I normally don't think about it, because when you go up Lakeshore Boulevard and you're close to Culver Road at this point, and you turn left onto Zoo Road, which only goes that one direction. Zoo Road is a one-way street that kind of goes in, loops, and comes back out just slightly closer to Culver Road. And I kind of assumed that when you're up on Zoo Road, there's a few parking areas you can use, quite a few different ones, actually. And I kind of assumed that between the in part and the out part of Zoo Road, there isn't much on that side. So you come in Zoo Road, you park. Generally, I would go to the right to walk on some of the trails, and the ponds are there, and that's the big part of Durand Eastman Park. But if you go left, and there aren't that many ways to get down there, because it's a fairly steep hillside, but there's a fair amount of space between, or sort of inside this loop of Zoo Road. And there's this huge white pine that had come down fairly recently, within the last 6 months probably. And I was going to try to figure out a way to measure it. Probably 100 feet tall. And one of the really striking things about it is how few roots it had, really. How did a tree that big, how was it held up by so few roots? Because the whole root system came out of the ground, and there are surprisingly few roots. And one of the things that people don't realize generally with trees, and you kind of discover this if you notice trees like this that fall down in windstorms, or especially in windstorms, that the root system doesn't look anything like the tree itself. So I think a lot of people imagine a tree looks like the underground, just the way it looks above the ground. And actually, it looks nothing like it. Underground, basically the top 18 inches around the tree are the main roots. And there are a few trees that have tap roots, but most of them don't really have tap roots, and they have these networks of roots in the top 18 inches, and something like 90% of the root system of the tree is in those top 18 inches. So it's a very flat root system, and goes way out. Obviously, a lot of these roots were broken when it tipped over, but they're not very big roots. And it just amazing that a tree that large could have stayed upright that long with so relatively few roots. But they're strong, even if they're not all that big. And I think it's fascinating to kind of look at that root system, and it helps you imagine what the roots look like in the trees in your yard, for example, and that might stop you from going and try to put some sort of curbing or edging in around a tree and digging down 6 inches to put the plastic edging in. You are you're cutting a lot of important roots when you do that. And seeing this tree tipped over, maybe it'll keep a couple people from doing that and really damaging the root system of their tree in their yard by edging around it. I mean, you go down an inch, I guess it wouldn't make that big a deal, but if you want to put in plastic edging or something, you got to go down about 6 inches, and then you're really cutting all. It's not going to be much fun to do, for one thing, but it's not going to help the tree at all to have a lot of those roots cut. So a lot of people imagine that the roots of the tree go as far out as the tree is wide. They actually often go twice as far as the tree is tall. So it's not just the drip line of the tree. It's way out beyond that, where these anchoring roots are growing. So that area of Duran Eastman has a little bit of a sort of a hemlock forest feel to it. Again, you're inside this loop of Zoo Road. And then there's a little creek down below. And one of the biggest dawn redwoods I've seen outside of Longwood Gardens is down there. And you're not far from Lakeshore Boulevard at that point, but a really stunning dawn redwood, which is a tree that was thought to be extinct and was found by, I think, explorers from the Arnold Arboretum in China at some point in the 1940s. And again, they brought those seeds back from China, and these the largest of the dawn redwoods around the country, and this might be one of them, are from that expedition, as they kind of reintroduced them. So cool trees and shrubs, and just a beautiful landscape there at Durand Eastman Park. And we haven't had much rain. It's been sort of misty rain for a couple of days, so be careful on the trails. But it's not soaking wet where I don't think you're going to run into too much of swampy areas and really messy walking. It's a beautiful park. And the yellow dogwoods are blooming. There's several of those up on Zoo Road. I mentioned those during the gardening show. There's three big ones blooming at the corner of East Avenue and Culver Road, if you want to know what a yellow dogwood looks like. And pretty soon we'll have red buds blooming, shad trees, wild cherries. Those buds are getting bigger. They'll be in bloom pretty soon, maybe a week, maybe 10 days, something like that. I would bet we'll have a bunch more native trees blooming. Durand Eastman is often a week behind because the Lake Ontario keeps it cooler in the spring, keeps it warmer in the fall, but cooler in the spring. But it didn't seem to be behind in terms of the yellow dogwood. And then hopefully some wildflowers will be blooming fairly soon. And do some exploring. This is a great time over the next week or so, maybe, to explore some of these parks. It'll be cool enough that there's not going to be tons of people out. A day like today, bring an umbrella or just a raincoat. And it's really it's beautiful even when it's not sunny out. And, of course, there'll be fewer people. You might run into some geese like I did. I said earlier in the gardening show there was a goose sitting on her eggs right just off that zoo road down toward the water. And the not Lake Ontario, but the, some of the ponds that are in Durand-Eastman. And so be aware when you're walking, because they can be very protective, and they're pretty big once they flex their, you know, put their wings out, and they really are fearless if they're protecting their young. And in a few weeks, those will hatch out, and we'll see these little fluff balls. I've seen them several times up by Durand-Eastman. You may see them in, you know, along the canal or Genesee River, but they are adorable when they're really tiny. And by spending more time in nature, you'll start to see more things. You'll identify more things. You'll maybe hear the sound of some birds that you recognize. You may see some frogs' eggs. I was looking for those. Haven't found any yet, but they are close to laying them. I have to clean out our pond. We have a little pond in our yard here in the city of Rochester, and deep enough to keep goldfish alive during the winter, but the toads lay eggs each spring, often around now. So I've got to get the leaves and things out of the pond before they lay those eggs. Otherwise, I can't really clean out the pond once the eggs are in there. And then we'll have tadpoles, and then we'll have little tiny toads that will go hopping around our yard and disperse. And the toads come and lay eggs in the pond. They sing, for a couple of nights, and even singing during the day, it's quite loud in our backyard. None of the neighbors have complained or even asked about it. I assume they can hear it, but maybe they know what it is by now. Usually in April, often early to mid-April, a couple of warm nights, and the toads will start swimming around. And I've had people insist to me that toads don't swim. Toads don't go in the water. And they're wrong, because they do. We've had up to like 29 toads in our little pond at one time. Most of the males singing and mating and laying eggs. And it's really kind of fun to watch the whole process. And the eggs that the toads lay are in strings. And so there are these black dots in a clear gelatin string that curls when it's in the water, almost like the double helix of of DNA. And the frogs tend to lay bunches of eggs. The toads lay these strings of eggs, and they're fascinating. So that's one of the reasons I was looking when I was up at Durand-Eastman in the ponds and the water areas to see whether some of those early maybe tree frogs and others had started laying eggs. And if you go off the beaten path, there'll be fewer people, and you may discover some of these things that are just fascinating. Send me a photo. And you, as I said during the gardening show, you can send me a photo of something from your yard that you want help identify in identifying. But also when you're hiking, you see some things that you don't recognize, feel free to send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. I might not get back to you that instant, but probably that day, and give you an idea of what you're seeing, what the wildflower is maybe, or what the tree or shrub, which that might be. It's a it just all kinds of things that you may not identify, and it sort of tests my skills to try and figure it out. So it's kind of fun, especially before the leaves come out. You can still tell what a lot of trees and shrubs are without the leaves on them, and the form of the tree tells you a tremendous amount about what it is. One of our listeners texted and said, "Watch out for ticks." That is a great idea, and the ticks are becoming a much bigger problem. And when I say to go off the trail, I appreciate the reminder about the ticks, because right now you can go off the trail and not be in grassy areas and you know, not have lots of things brushing against you because they're not growing yet. And you might think it's too cold for ticks, but I would venture they're probably out there now, and generally these insects are out long before we think to look for them. My daughter got bit by a mosquito in our backyard a week ago. It was a very opportunistic mosquito. I don't know what it was doing flying around when temperatures were as cold as they were. We found a mosquito in our house yesterday, too. So watch out for mosquitoes. But it's the ticks that are really, you know, carrying the Lyme disease, as well as a few other diseases that you really don't want to have. And Lyme disease has become very common. So most people are not wearing shorts right now because it's still chilly outside. But wearing long pants, making sure to check yourself for ticks after you get home. And beware of the dog bringing the ticks back home with him too. It's awareness and learning more about nature. The ticks hang out on the ends of grasses and things, kind of waiting to latch onto something. Maybe a deer, maybe some other kind of animal, perhaps the leg of a human. And so beware, and as things start to grow up, the grasses and things, we need to be even more careful and maybe avoid going off the trail as much when that's the case. I certainly avoid going into sort of meadows and areas like that once the grasses and things grow up. To avoid the potential ticks that are there, and you know, like with most things, like with the coronavirus, these things can be scary. The more you learn about them, the more you read about ticks, about where you might find them, what their life cycle is, where to look for them on your legs, your arms, your neck, etc. These things become less scary. You read more about the coronavirus. If you wear masks and other people wear masks, there's less chance of transmission. It doesn't mean you can wear a mask and then just go and, you know, stand right next to someone. And we still need to keep the social distancing. The virus is very good at staying on some surfaces, less so on cardboard versus metal and plastic. But again, read about these things, learn more about them. You'll be able to help other people, and I think you'll hopefully be less scared and more respectful of what you need to do to be careful, whether it's ticks or the coronavirus. and you'll be safer because of that. So the number of ticks is growing, and it will probably continue to grow over the next several years. They're still working on treatments for Lyme disease, and I saw something recently about a potential treatment for the bacterium that causes a lot of the issues with Lyme disease. So there's a lot of research going into this, and in the meantime, we need to be careful and as things start growing this spring, be more aware to stay on the trails. And Durand Eastman has a lot of deer. And deer are one of the things that the ticks like to live on, but they also live on mice and things like that. If you have barberry plants in your yard, these are small shrubs that have lots of little tiny thorns that are just nasty thorns. That might be one reason to get rid of the barberries in your yard. Because in studies they've done where these were more in areas where the barberry had gone wild, I think it's kind of near homes but wild areas like in the woods behind someone's house, that kind of situation. There were more ticks because there were more mice, and they had a protected habitat from predators there. So you don't want the barberry in your yard because of the thorns, for one thing, and it's an invasive species, it's not native, other reasons to take it out, but that habitat for ticks is yet one more reason to remove the barberry. And you got to dig it out. The roots don't have thorns on them, but wear some really thick, like winter gloves, if you're going to take barberry out. And it's blood poisoning from those little tiny thorns. They are nasty. So again, identifying the things that are in your yard, like barberry or other trees and shrubs, may help you decide whether you want to keep them. And send me a photo. I'll try to identify them for you. The phone number, 585-346-3000. You can also email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Back afterward from our sponsors on WYSL 1040.
So I traveled all around this beautiful Empire State, from Onondaga County to the tip of Cuca Lake. And I walked up Bald Hill looking down on paradise. I was amazed by the beauty of the lake called Canadice. I was amazed by the beauty of the lake called Canadice.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes. Those include Glenora Wine Cellars, and you can order their wines online, have them shipped to your door, and they make really a pretty incredible variety of wines, from fruit wines, which they've been growing a number of those, adding to their selection of fruit wines with watermelon and pineapple, and they had raspberry and a couple others for a while, but added some more tropical ones like the pineapple recently. They also do some delicious Pinot Blanc, Cabernet, Riesling, Chardonnay, in a variety of formats. They have some in their Astro Packs, so you can avoid the glass. But again, they are shipping here with the shutdown, and it's a great way to get a few extra bottles to use as thank yous to people, or maybe ship some to friends and family. Glenora.com, you can get more details. They also added some forced carbonation sparkling wine. They've got several of those available. Really, it's a broad range of wines. Their dry rosé is delicious, and Steve DeFrancesco, their winemaker, has been making sparkling wine for a long time. So they're Brut, and by a long time, I mean like 40 years. Glenora has been a producer of sparkling wine. Now, Glenora.com, you can get more details. The west side of Seneca Lake, again, Glenora.com. And maybe get a gift certificate to go and stay at the inn. They have 30 rooms and a lovely place to stay. And a gift certificate to do that, maybe for yourself or for someone else, as a really nice thank you to enjoy a night at Glenora in the near future. It's glenora.com for more information. Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport is located on University Avenue right near Culver. The bike shops are considered essential businesses, so they are open. And it's the time to get your bicycle out, and if you're not happy with your bicycle, maybe consider a new bicycle so that you can get out and get more exercise this spring, see more of our area, take advantage of all the bike trails. It's really a great way to for transportation. So you can get new bicycles, you can get your current bicycle upgraded or perhaps flat tires fixed, etc., at Full Moon Vista. Check out their hours, fullmoonvista.com, again, University Avenue, right near Culver, and Sager Beer Works is right next door to them, along with Living Roots Winery. So a number of businesses right around them. University Avenue, right near Culver, fullmoonvista.com. And also brought to you by Hunt Country Vineyards. They are down just above Cuca Lake, and sustainability is something that they've focused on for decades at Hunt Country Vineyards. They've won some awards for that over the last 5 years. They've got geothermal heating and cooling. They have substantial solar panels. They've got 5 electric car charging stations there at the winery, helping to lead the way in renewable energy and sustainability in the Finger Lakes. It's huntwines.com. Maybe you order some wines from them, including their cream sherry. Alchemy is their blended dry red that's really delicious. Many wines to sample. That's huntwines.com. They also make a traditionally made ice wine. Keep that in mind. And a delicious dessert without the fat of a piece of cake or some other dessert. Just a small, tiny glass. You don't drink a lot of ice wine any one time because it is very sweet, but they make a delicious ice wine. It's huntwines.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And Forge Sellers from the Finger Lakes have put an announcement out this past week. It says for the foreseeable future, Forge Sellers will donate 5% of our sales of their 2018 Dry Riesling Classique to the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, effort to support our friends during these most difficult times. It says all of us at Forge have been at a loss on how we could help our friends in the restaurant industry. The climate is not easy for anyone at the moment, but we feel that restaurants have been particularly hard hit. Since the world of food and wine are so deeply connected, we're compelled to make some effort, no matter how small, to have a positive impact. And they included links to to their website, FordSellers.com, and also to the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, and that is RestaurantWorkersCF.org. If you want more details, RestaurantWorkersCF.org. And as I said during the food show, many restaurants are offering catering, takeout, but they're doing that with much smaller staffs, many fewer people than their regular staff, and so there are huge numbers of restaurant workers who are been laid off for now, and the sooner that we begin to relax restrictions, the more the restaurants will start to be able to bring back members of their staff, and the way to restrict to lessen these restrictions sooner is to stay home, and if you have to go out, to wear a mask. Again, encourage others to wear a mask, but stay home as much as possible. And so we've got to get to the point where we can flatten this curve. Unfortunately, as I said in the last hour, we don't really know what this curve is because we're not testing people. And if you're not testing, how do you know what the curve is doing? And the Monroe County announced the number of cases. Again, they should, every time they put number of cases, they should have parentheses right next to it. These are only the known cases with very limited testing, and we don't know what the real number is. We are trying to flatten the curve that we see in other countries that are doing testing, based on what other countries have seen in terms of deaths, we'll know what our curve looks like for cases as the number of deaths go up, unfortunately, because those are more concrete, more obvious. And they're doing more testing when people die to see whether they died of the coronavirus. So the New York Times had some really good graphs of the curves of cases around the country and the number of deaths. And those will give you more information about where we potentially stand, which as a country is not very reassuring about where we stand, because there's still a bunch of states that think that a stay-at-home lockdown is not important. They're not doing it. And if they're not doing it, they are increasing the number of cases for everyone, because the people who live in that state are going to drive to other states or maybe fly to other states, and they're putting the rest of us at risk. So the more that this is a haphazard decision making, state by state, community by community, the more risk we have, unfortunately, for everyone. And other countries have done this. It's not rocket science. It's epidemiology, and it's fairly well understood. We're just not following the recommendations, and we are way behind, which means that this lockdown will last longer for us here in the United States than for some other countries that are doing more. So we can shorten this by referencing the article from a few weeks ago, The Hammer and the Dance. We put the hammer down to stay home and stay isolated, and then we do the dance of starting to open up the businesses and the economy, and the dance is going back and forth on more restrictions and fewer restrictions to limit the number of new cases. But we need the testing. Somehow, we've got to get the testing rolled out across the United States, and not just in hospitals for people who are so sick they need a ventilator. The next week is going to be especially challenging, and I would encourage you to listen to Governor Cuomo's daily update. Whether you politically agree with him or not, I think it is pretty straightforward and pretty transparent in general, and also helps those of us who don't live in New York City to maybe realize how dire the situation is in New York City, and that they are ahead of us, and what they are seeing is coming our way. Partly because we're not doing the social distancing and the face masks and the things that would have limited the spread of the virus here, we are we're going to be seeing what's happening in New York City come here. So hopefully the information, again, information is crucial, and I think Cuomo's doing a really good job of this daily update. It's, I don't know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes with questions, something like that. It's worth watching or listening to. Again, whether you would vote for him or did vote for him or not, that's kind of irrelevant in this coronavirus crisis. You need information. One of the things that I think he does better than most outlets is be pretty blunt about what's happening and why he's doing what he's doing to try to protect the state. And right now it's New York City in particular, and the challenges in doing that. The number of police and fire department members that have been infected in New York City is large and growing. Again, it's a preview of what we're going to see in smaller numbers, because we're a smaller community, but in perhaps similar percentages, which is still a lot of people here. Those are usually around 11 or noon. Actually, it could be going on now, I'm not sure, but you can certainly find recordings of it to catch up with what's happening. Again, maybe that'll convince more people to stay home, to put their lives on hold, to stock up when you go to the grocery store for a week so you don't have to go back. If you're doing takeout, to get multiple meals that you can stretch even further so that you don't have to keep going out for takeout every night. And learn to cook. I said last week on the food show, be careful with your knife skills. Maybe watch some videos on YouTube about knife skills. And I don't mean, tossing knives in the air. I mean chopping vegetables so you don't cut yourself and end up getting stitches in the hospital, which is exactly where you don't want to be right now. But, you can boil an egg, you can cook pasta. I mean, there are very easy things to do that are actually pretty cheap, and the less contact that you have at stores or restaurants or anywhere, the better. There'll be a time for where I'm going to be promoting takeout like crazy. It's probably only a couple weeks away, but we've got to have the testing. We got to be wearing the masks, and then it's going to become a I would say more sustainable, a smarter thing to do. It's going to become less risky. I guess that's the bottom line. We don't know quite enough about how many people can carry the virus without knowing they have it and how infectious it is when they're doing that. We need more information about that, and the next week or so, next week or 10 days, we'll have a lot more information. If you have comments and questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. One of the things to do right now, and there was just a virtual summit that Break the Ice Media in Pittsburgh, I did this for the last 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday was their virtual summit. And the presentations are still available online. Yesterday, and they'll be up for 30 days. It's free to register. You can listen to these 20-minute presentations as many times as you like. And some of them are by local people. Glenn Clark from Crafting a Brand had one yesterday called Creating an Unforgettable Brand for Your Tourism or Craft Beverage Destination. And he's been working here in our area for many years. And really, his business is called Crafting a Brand. And some great experience, and also it's a time right now when it makes sense to kind of rethink your brand. Maybe if you have a business or if you work for a business, it's time to think about what you're doing and so what you could do better, what you could do differently, how things are changing in your business with the coronavirus, with digital media in general, with climate change. I mean, there are many reasons to reevaluate what you're doing and maybe look at how you present yourself and your marketing materials, your sales materials, your pricing, your product, etc. And so this virtual summit includes a bunch of different topics and people from around the country and several from around the world involved. One of the presentations yesterday was Food Tourism Marketing in a Post-Pandemic Era. Eric Wolf from the World Food Travel Association did that presentation. And these are recorded and online for the next 30 days. You can go to breaktheicemedia.com and link to their virtual summit there. You sign up so you get access to it, but there's no charge, and they're not going to sell your email. They're a very reputable local company. They did a lot to generate the New York Wine Spotting and that branding. And so I've worked with them for quite a few years. And this is the second time they've done this virtual summit. It was set up before the coronavirus was discovered. They set up this virtual summit. I think they did it initially because then people don't have to travel, and they can watch these presentations and interact with the presenters online. It just turned out that with the timing of the coronavirus, they look like geniuses for setting up this virtual summit. But it was set up before, and it's still a great idea, and it means you can access the material. The presenters are no longer available for online chat. That was during the actual presentations Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But there's contact information for them, and a number of them are really easily available, both the local ones and some of the others from outside the area. Josiah Brown did a presentation yesterday on consumer first marketing for tourism, and also there's one on post-pandemic marketing, future-proofing for the evolving world of travel. And that was just yesterday's presentations. There were nine or ten maybe or so presentations in total over the 3 days. So breaktheicemedia.com, get more details, and there's some worksheets and additional materials that you can print. Maybe some organizations you didn't even know existed. I think I'd heard of the World Food Travel Association, but I didn't know much about it. And again, these presentations are ways to learn more about the world of travel and travel tourism, and also some of the organizations and things involved in it. And it's daunting to think about, you know, what museums and small to large museums are going to do, especially those that have a lot of foreign travelers. I'm thinking like the Corning Museum of Glass. It's going to be a while before international travel becomes something we can do. Once we can do it, how soon will people start to do it? Separate questions. And so it's got to be a challenging time for many organizations, museums, et cetera, performing arts centers. And here locally, we have some wonderful places like the Strong Museum, the Eastman Museum, the Genesee Country Village Museum, and consider becoming a member. And it's a way you can show your support, and it's, you know, basically like buying a gift card to a restaurant or your favorite winery. The museums are not going to have much income if tourists are not moving around and people are not visiting them. And so they're hoping that this lockdown ends as soon as possible. Again, by staying home, we can speed up that process, hopefully. But consider joining as a member. Once or maybe several places that you've enjoyed over the years, or maybe renew a membership that's lapsed. Like the ROCO, the Rochester Contemporary Arts Center downtown. All kinds of possibilities and ways to support local organizations. Maybe you make a donation to JIVA, to Blackfriars, to some theater, music, the RPO. Tons of different organizations around. But look at places you've appreciated over the last few years and consider, again, making a donation, getting a membership. Giving a membership as a gift, buying a gift card, and showing your support. The phone number here, 585-346-3000. You can also email me, michael@saverlife.com. Anytime, we will take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors on WYSL 1040. Ain't no reason to go in the wagon to town. Ain't no reason to go to the fair. Ain't no reason to go up. Ain't no reason to go down. Ain't no reason to go anywhere. Thank you. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes. And by the way, that was, if I got the details right, Judy Collins singing a Bob Dylan song in 1970. Thanks to Jeff, my engineer, for not finding that, but coming up with interesting music. I'm going to learn more about music over these years of doing the radio show, no doubt. We have some great sponsors, including Bristol's Garden Center, and they're doing curb service, so it's too early to plant tomatoes, it's too early to plant basil and patience, and it's too early to plant a lot of things, it really is, but violas and pansies are tough, and so I'm planting some of those. Bristol's can deliver mulch, the bulk mulch for you, you can make your yard look beautiful with a layer of mulch. And you can put that mulch over the leaves instead of raking the leaves out. Maybe put the mulch over the leaves and they'll compost and you'll have fewer weeds and you'll have better soil. So maybe you share the mulch with a neighbor. You can share the delivery charge for 6 cubic yards and each of you takes 3 yards. Most yards in the city, like my yard, 3 yards I could easily use, and in most yards in the suburbs, 6 cubic yards you could easily use. And you have less mowing to do, hopefully, and maybe some more gardens. BristolsGardenCenter.com for details on delivery. Brought to you by Ristorante Lucano, I mentioned earlier, they're doing takeout, I got a bunch of lasagna dishes from them to put in the freezer, and so easy to take those out and have some fantastic lasagna. You can get in touch with them, ristorantelucano.com, and available for takeout, but also gift cards. And a lot of people, when I ask them about their favorite restaurant, they mention Ristorante Lucano. So maybe get a gift card for some friends or family, maybe as a thank you for someone who has been helping you. And they're also offering their wine list. Restaurants can sell bottles of wine. So they have one of the best Italian wine lists around. If you want to experiment and try some really interesting and delicious Italian wines, get some with your takeout from Ristorante Lucano. So ristorantelucano.com. And also brought to you by, as I mentioned, Max Wiesman Place. They have gift cards available and are good for all three restaurants, Max Chop House, Aunt Rosie's, and Max Wiesman Place. They have shut down for a couple of weeks be reevaluating it over the next week or so, probably. You can go to maxrochesterny.com. Some great photography there. Check out their website. Some very cool photography at maxrochesterny.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is Discover the Finger Lakes on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And one thing to have fun with, it's 40 degrees and kind of raw outside, exploringupstate.com just reposted their story of Syracuse salt. One of many stories, tons of stories at exploringupstate.com. But if you've wondered why Syracuse is the salt city, how salt potatoes were invented. You can go back and read this. Chris Clemens just reposted it on Facebook. So follow him on Facebook for some of his newest stories, but also look back in some of the other things that he's covered about the Finger Lakes and upstate in general. You'll have some fun with that this week, and stay home. Go out as little as possible in public. Wear a mask when you do, and we can flatten this curve and try to really protect our doctors and nurses and all the people that are working in the hospital trying to save lives. We need to limit as much as we can the spread of the coronavirus and the impact that's going to have on our medical professionals, which is going to be extremely difficult in the best of circumstances. We want to keep it from getting worse. So by staying home, again, wearing masks, if you have to go to the grocery store, you can protect others. And there's all kinds of information on making masks. There, you can make it with a T-shirt. You can make it with a bandana. There are many options. You can find those online. We'll be back tomorrow with The Grapevine from 9 to 11 here on WYSL 1040.